But there's an Old Testament passage, every time I read it, it causes my heart to swell. And in that passage, it's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, when King Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king, before God humbled him.
Yeah.
All right? And in that passage of scripture, when it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king, probably one of the most wicked kings that you would ever come across. By the way, also at that time, the number one world power of that day. And I say world power, and I say that carefully. But in that passage, here's what it says. This is what God says about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, now listen to this, my servant.
Come on.
Church, every time I read that, my heart swells because it matters not how wicked the day seems to be.
That's right.
God is still accomplishing what he wants.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who reigns. It doesn't matter who's in power. It doesn't matter who's doing what. God is still sovereign, and God is still going to accomplish what he desires. And let me tell you what God's doing today. He is still about bringing a lost world unto himself. Amen? And what is God doing at Southeastern? I can tell you this. For 41 years, God has been using that college to train the next generation of pastors, missionaries, Christian educators, Amen. To go out into a lost world
Amen.
And to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so when you get discouraged, when you read too many headlines, I want you to watch what just took place up here a few minutes ago.
Amen.
God is still calling men and ladies to the work of the ministry. He's calling these men to preach. He's calling the men and women to go to the regions beyond. He is calling many of these ladies. They're going to be teaching in Christian schools. And I'm telling you, God is still doing a great work.
Amen.
Amen. And so praise the Lord. Guys, thank you for being used this morning. And I want you to go ahead, take your Bible, turn to John 20. And I want to share for just a moment a message entitled, So Send I You. Now, if you're here and you truly have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you, are you churched? There's buildings today full of that. I'm asking, do you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ? There's been a time in your life you have bowed in your heart and in your life and said, be merciful, God, to me, a sinner.
Amen. Wow.
And you've invited the King of Kings, the only one worthy of the worship that we have been seeing this morning. You've invited him personally to redeem you.
Amen.
And by the way, that's not a, I think so, maybe. That is a yes, no question.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Either that's true or it is not. And I want you guys to know, if that answer is yes, first of all, if that answer is yes in your heart and you know the Lord has redeemed you, slip your hand up. And don't you ever apologize for that. Amen? And never be ashamed of that. But if you're here and you could not raise your hand, first of all, I appreciate your honesty. Amen? And the integrity in which you did not answer one way or the other. But here's the deal. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And by the way, you say, Ken, how do I know that? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And I want to remind you, when you were an enemy of God, when you weren't even interested in him, when you could care less about Jesus Christ. He pursued you. He sought you. He worked in your heart so that you would one day finally bow and say, you are King of my life. Amen. And praise the Lord for what he is doing among us. In John 20, he didn't redeem you to let you sit. So, yeah, let's stand for the reading of God's word. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, the scripture says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled," now notice, "for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord," by the way, post-crucifixion and now in the resurrection. "Then said Jesus to them again," now notice the second time, "Peace be unto you." And here's the charge. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And by the way, aren't you glad the very Spirit of God lives in your life today? Amen?
Amen.
"Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Let's pray, and then you can be seated, and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. And Father, we know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. May we hunger in our heart for the truth of the scriptures. And bless now this time. Lord, I pray that you will do a work in each of our hearts. And may we leave a little more like you. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We see in our text that our Lord visits with the disciples after the crucifixion and the resurrection. The disciples were in fear, and they were certainly uncertain about their future. The Bible tells us in this passage, they were in a room hiding. They were hiding from the Jews. Their thought, if Jesus was killed, our leader, what would they do to us if they had the chance? Jesus comes to them amid their fears, and he acknowledges the disciples. And by the way, let me tell you what's an amazing thought to me, even before we get into this. Jesus knows, child of God, Jesus knows where you are right now.
Amen.
He knows if you're afraid. He knows if you're scared. He knows if you're doubting. He knows every part of what you're experiencing in your life right now.
Amen.
And let me tell you what he does. Just what he did for the disciples, he addresses you as well.
Amen.
And he comes to you to reassure he is still Lord and you are still his. Amen?
Amen.
And so Jesus comes to them amid their fears and acknowledges the disciples and he gives them a charge. And guys, I want us to look at these few verses for just a few moments this morning. And I want you and I to realize if I am a child of God, I have been given the exact same charge.
Amen.
This charge wasn't to the disciples 2,000 years ago. This charge is also for the disciples of 2024.
Amen.
And if you are a child of God and you're not living this, then friend, let me tell you, you are living in disobedience.
Amen.
And I want to challenge us, let's be what God called us to be.
Amen.
I want us to notice, first of all, in this passage, I want us to look at this greeting. Jesus greeted his disciples. In verses 19 and 21, we see both times, it was the exact same greeting. As Jesus enters the room, I want you to notice how he addressed his followers twice. He addresses his followers the very same way, didn't he? He said, "Peace be unto you." Now, you say, okay, those are a few words. That's nice. It goes way deeper than that, my friend. The word peace indicates absence of war. Let me say that again. Peace indicates absence of war. The disciples, put it in context, the disciples are in the upper room. They're hiding.
Yeah, come on.
They're afraid. Yeah. They're in their mind, they're thinking the war is raging and we're losing.
Come on.
But Jesus came and in one simple statement that he says twice, he reminds them, there's not one bit of that true. Peace be unto you. Guys, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you hear me, the war is over.
Amen.
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 Amen. It is over. You are now victorious, not because of you, but because of him. And now we walk in the victory. And by the way, you say, how was that proven? This is post-crucifixion. The resurrection settled it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The resurrection proves everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus offers and everything this book is about is true.
Amen. Amen.
And we know that we that are in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Amen. We know that in Christ, I can do all things for his honor and for his glory. And so he comes on a mission to these disciples. He knows they're afraid. He knows they're scared. Guys, we're living in a day, this culture, everything about what we're living in today, in this world, in this culture, is trying to create fear.
Yeah, amen.
And it's trying to create fear in everybody, including God's people.
Amen.
And let me tell you what's going to happen. When the Christian gets fearful, the Christian gets quiet.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
Look, I had an opportunity this morning, almost late for Sunday school. Okay? And I knew your pastor would be okay.
Come on.
Yeah. We're leaving the hotel today. And the lady that was checking us out of the hotel, by the way, she's your neighbor. Working at a hotel, what, 20 miles away? And we're checking out this morning, and they're out there waiting for me, wondering, what in the world? Brother Ken, you told us to be on time, and we're waiting on you. And they repented of those terrible thoughts, but anyway. But I got talking to Jackie at the front desk. She wanted to know a little bit about us, what we're doing here. Began to share a little bit about, these are some of the finest young people you ever meet, not because they're good unto themselves, but because they know the one who is good.
Amen.
And out of that opened a conversation, and she asked me this question. She said, what happens? She's my age. How do you deal when you realize life wasn't quite what you expected?
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
And there's a bus and a van load of people that are waiting on me, but you know what? They could wait.
That's right.
And just began to share with her, let me tell you about a God who's in absolute control. And I may have plans, I may have dreams, I may have aspirations, I may have thoughts, but you know what? My God has better ones for me.
Amen.
And if I can yield to that, I will find a really good life.
Amen.
And we began to just share. I said, how can I pray for you, Jackie? And she's given me two specific ways. By the way, I've given her two passages. She promises me today she will be meditating on. She used that word. I want to meditate on those two scriptures you gave me today. You got a neighbor seeking. And it just took a little bit of time.
That's right.
But if we're fearful, we wouldn't have said a word.
Go ahead.
We would have shied away from that. We had almost been embarrassed to begin to bring it up. And that's exactly right. God help us. We have a message to be told.
Amen.
We have a Savior to be shared. We have salvation to proclaim.
Yeah. Amen.
And there is still, in this day, there's still only one hope for this world. And it is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And here comes Jesus to a group that was afraid. And they're hiding. Instead of out doing what God told them to do, go ye, right? Where are they? They're clumped and hiding. And instead of Jesus chiding them, Jesus comes to them and says, peace be unto you. And let me remind you, this is what the Lord's telling you. Let me remind you, because I am resurrected. Because I can't, I've overcome death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
You go out in the victory that I have given you.
Amen.
Church, it's time.
Yeah.
The truth is, it's past time for us to go out in the victory Jesus has given to us.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And so he gives them this greeting. And by the way, in his grieving, knowing the hearts of his followers, and again, rather than chiding them, he addresses them with peace. He was living what Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
Amen.
Now listen to this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Child of God, can I ask you a question? What am I anxious and fearful about? I guarantee if we got honest, we got real for just a moment, we begin to pop up and say, you know what scares me today? This. It might be that I just got a medical diagnosis and I'm scared to death. It might be, you know what, my finances are not looking so good right now. It may be, you know what, my business, where I'm working, they're beginning to downsize, and I don't know if I have job security tomorrow. What is it you walked in here and you are fearful and you're anxious about? Can I remind you, the God who met the greatest need you ever had, and that was the day he saved you.
Amen.
He is more than able to meet the needs you're facing today.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So in the presence of Jesus, I can focus on him. I can bring the thoughts of my fears and my anxieties to him. And I get to experience his peace.
Amen.
The peace the world doesn't understand. But every child of God should. His peace drives away fear. And as they were with Jesus, their fears left. Friends, as you and I live in our fears and our doubts, as we draw close to our Lord instead of hiding,
Amen.
His peace will fill our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
Just as Jesus had to remind the disciples. Now listen to this. Just as Jesus had to remind the disciples twice, we need to be reminded over and over and over that our peace, friend, you hear me, your peace doesn't come because you have good health. Your peace doesn't come because you have job security. Your peace doesn't come because your retirement is sitting nice and pretty right now. Your peace only comes through your relationship with Jesus Christ. And friend, fear is going to keep us hidden, and it's going to keep us quiet from a world who needs to hear about Jesus Christ. As we walk with our Lord, his peace will flood our heart, and the fear of sharing him will go away. But then secondly, I want us to notice his charge. He gives them a charge. Verse 21. We understand that Jesus is visiting with his disciples post-resurrection. He has demonstrated by his resurrection that he has all power and authority.
Amen. Amen.
And Jesus commands each of his disciples that just as the Father sent Jesus into this world, now hear me, now he is sending each of us into the world as well.
Amen.
We're reminded in Luke 19:10 as to why Jesus came. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Jesus came as the good news, and he is still the good news.
Amen.
And we are charged to go and share this good news, Jesus Christ, with everyone around us. If the church is truly discipling, that's a buzzword right now in the church.
Amen. Come on.
And you hear me? If the church is truly discipling, then we understand that every believer has been charged by the Father to go into the world, to live the scriptures,
amen,
and to share the light of the glorious gospel.
Amen.
That is our mission. In this charge, he reminds us, we are God's masterpiece. I love Psalm 139. Psalm 139 verse 14 says this. The psalmist says, I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I want you to take a minute, humor me for just a moment. I want you to look at the person sitting next to you. All right, for some of you, it's husband and wife, and maybe the first time you looked at each other today. All right, I hope that's not true. But go ahead and look at each other. I'm going to do it to you. I'm going to sit here until you do it, so you may as well do it. All right, look at him. Okay? JJ, look at him. All right? Man, don't offend the pastor. Come on, all right? Did you guys look at each other? All right. Was it tough? Oh. Then it was good, right? I said, was it tough? He said, he's my pa-in-law. So it's like, yeah, you better not say it was tough, all right? That's funny. I want you guys to understand something. You're sitting next to one of God's masterpieces. We live in a world, and we're living in a culture that is constantly finding fault, finding what is wrong, finding the blemish, finding what is not accurate, what is normal. And I'm telling you, God has never made junk. God only makes masterpieces.
Amen.
The scripture reminds us you are fearfully, with great care and precision, the Creator God fashioned you.
Amen.
Just the way, and you hear me, not the way you need to be.
That's right.
He fashioned you just the way he needs you to be.
Amen.
Because he's the one who has plans for you. You don't have your own plans.
That's right.
He has a plan for you.
Amen.
That is why he created you.
Amen.
That is why he breathed into you the breath of life.
Amen.
That is why you were able to get up this morning.
Amen.
Because God has a plan for your life. And when you begin to understand and you begin to hold to the truth that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, then I am only going to be at my best when I am pursuing my Creator.
Amen.
And when I am fulfilling the purpose as to why the Creator even made me.
Amen.
Anything else is a wasted life.
Yeah, come on. That's right. Come on.
Teenagers, you hear me back there. God created you.
Amen.
And with that, He already has plans for your life.
Amen.
He knows exactly what He wants you to be, to do, and what He wants your life to be about. I always had a Christian school where I was part of in ministry. And I always taught senior Bible at our Christian school. And I always told our seniors, you have every right to look at someone who's getting ready to ask you the question I'm getting ready to say. You be respectful, but you tell them, I can't answer that question because you're asking me the wrong question. So when they look at you as a senior and they say, what are you going to do next year? You tell them. My pastor said, I have the privilege to say this, and I'm going to say it respectfully, but I can't even answer your question because you're not asking me the right question. The question is not, what am I going to do next year? The question is, what does God want me to do next year?
Come on. Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Because if I am fearfully and wonderfully made, He already knows the plans. He already knows what He wants me to do next year. And it's just my responsibility to know Him well enough so I can follow it.
Amen.
And by the way, let me tell you what else I have found out. That if I will do those two things, if I will pursue my Creator with all my heart, and I will be obedient to the plans He has for my life, whatever that is. And by the way, for Jane and I, that minute, at 57, we resigned from our church. We gave away everything we owned. And we went to Bulgaria for about 3.5 years to proclaim at 57 years old. Because that was the plan God had for us. God has the right to do anything with us.
Amen.
And it's not ours to question. It is ours to follow.
Amen.
And so He gives the charge. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, not our own.
Amen.
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Friend, can I ask you this question? Are you walking in the steps God has already ordained for you, or are you rebelling against Him? And if I'm not asking Him, I'm rebelling. And so Matthew 5:16 reminds us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
Amen.
Not hear about them.
That's right. Amen.
But see them. And by the way, when they see them, it will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And by the way, that's why we're here.
Amen.
Whether it's at whatever job you have, don't think for a moment you've earned that job. God gave you that job.
Amen.
And He gave you that job to be light in a dark world.
Amen.
You say, you know what? I've acquired some wealth and I was able to go out and buy a house. Don't believe that for a moment. God gave you that house.
Amen.
And He may have put you into a neighborhood for one reason. There's a lot of lost neighbors that you have. And He put you in that neighborhood so you could reach your neighbor. And by the way, if I'm not sharing the gospel with my neighbor, then I am shirking my responsibility and I'm not fulfilling why God even gave me that house.
Yeah.
It's not about us.
Amen.
It is about Him.
Amen.
Amen, church?
Amen.
And when we begin to shift from that and really begin to say, God, it really is about You, our lives radically change. And the joy and the peace and the satisfaction and the fulfillment that that produces, I can't even begin to describe.
Amen.
And yet that's what everyone is looking for apart from Christ. They're looking for the exact same things that only Christ is going to give.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And then I just want to remind us of this. I'm going to wrap it up. God already knows how he wants to use you. I love Jeremiah chapter 1. And in verse 5. And although he's talking specifically about Jeremiah and his plans for him, I believe it is appropriate. And I believe in the context, it's absolutely fine to say not only does that apply to Jeremiah, but it applies to every one of us. Before I formed thee in the belly,
yep,
I knew thee.
Amen.
Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what the all-knowing, eternal God just said about you?
Hey.
Before you were even formed,
right,
God already knew you. Because it is he who breathes into us the breath of life.
Amen.
And he reminds them, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, before you were even brought into this world, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He's talking to Jeremiah, but I can tell you this. He could say this about you. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained you for whatever he wants. And it's my responsibility to figure out what that is. As I pursue him, I pursue what it is he wants for me.
Amen.
Each of us has the potential to live out the reason why we were created in the first place. And as we allow God to be seen through us in the way that he created us, we are fulfilling his purpose. And we are living for his glory. And what a wonderful opportunity to live with purpose and with meaning. Amen, church?
Amen.
As God has created and gifted, and I'm telling you, he has created and gifted every one of you.
Amen.
There is nobody exempt from what I'm talking about today. Every one of us, he has created and he has gifted. And he now wants us, first of all, to know him as Lord and Savior. He wants you to come back to the relationship to the Creator so that he can bring back everything sin has destroyed.
Amen.
And he's offering that to you. And friend, if you're here and you really don't know Christ, I'm sorry, but that's an empty life. And you're at the end of the day, you may say, I don't believe that. You will. You might be a lady my age at Quality Inn this morning saying, what do you do when life didn't quite measure up the way that I thought it was going to? At 60. What would have happened at 15 if you would have said, God, you made me. And I'm going to pursue you with all my heart. And I'm going to live out the reason why you made me.
Right.
And what would happen if that became our goal?
Amen.
Our passion?
Amen.
Oh, what a world could be changed,
yeah,
with the people of God.
Amen.
God has redeemed us. He's working in us. And we have the privilege to be used by him to reflect his glory. You and I have been charged and we have been commissioned to live this life.
Amen.
It's not a charge coming. The charge was already given. And as we live with that in mind, are we going to work so that I can be the best employee for the glory of God? Am I going to go to the store and be mindful of the reflection of God's glory so that someone could see him today? I have a message that I preach, and I'm done. The title of the message is this: It Ain't Nothing But a Cheeseburger. Okay? I'm getting a ride with a van load of college guys, and you know what? I guarantee they love some cheeseburgers, okay? But it ain't nothing but a cheeseburger. And here was the thought, and it was a personal illustration. I was pastoring in Washington, North Carolina. I'm going through Wendy's drive-thru. JJ's already hungry, all right? And I just said, I'd like a single with cheese and the number whatever combo, and I like fries, and I like a Coke. And the lady came back over the speaker. That's a chicken sandwich with the wrong side and the wrong drink. And for a moment, I got ticked. Mm-hmm. Ever happened to you?
Amen.
Nah. But remember, this is the man sitting next to his father-in-law, all right? So. And man, I was going to go up there and blow that lady out.
Come on.
Yeah, Free Will Baptist, amen. And I'm telling you, from the time I was at the speaker until I could get up, and I'm just grateful there was two cars between us that slowed me down.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And from the time I left that speaker till I got to the window, the Holy Spirit stomped all over me.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
And he said, Ken, you're going to tell me you're going to ruin my image to that lady because she didn't hear you correctly? Seriously? You mean to tell me? Because she knows you're a believer. She knows you, pastor. You've been through there too many times.
Preach on.
And you're going to tell me that for the sake that she just didn't hear you, that you're going to tarnish my name over a cheeseburger? It's time for invitation, amen? Because when have we sold the Lord short?
Amen.
Because we were not purposed to follow him. I'd like for you to bow your head, close your eyes.